Good morning, everybody. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Thank you very much. Thank you for letting me read the scripture today. Appreciate it.
Amen.
That's what I was about to say. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus.
Thank you, sir. Can you hear me? Am I on? Okay, it's very nice and a big pleasure for us to be here. We've been here with Zhenya in 2011. I think I stood in that corner when I shared, I don't remember what it was then. But God answered our prayers and allowed all my children to come this time with us. And Jim already introduced you to them. So I won't take time for that. First, whatever I tell you, I want to give glory to God. He is the one and all who provides everything for all of us. He has done everything in our lives, and He is doing things through us. He gives us resources and treasures so we can minister to others. He saved us through the blood of Jesus, and He brought us here so we can share our lives with you, and you can share your lives with us. God is our starting point. He's our goal, and He is our strength to reach that goal. Second, I want to thank the Central Church that has a long history of relationships with my family, me, and the ministry in Russia and Kazakhstan. As Jim already mentioned, starting from 1997, when they came, and today I met Jo. She was among those people. I remember Gray Mercy, Clyde Jones, and probably more others who came and helped with the ministry. I want to thank you also for your hospitality. We arrived 2 days ago, and Phil and Arina, they hosted us and other families. We met yesterday a huge family and had huge fellowship, and it's amazing. We loved it very much. And since the 19th, when I came to Christ in Tomsk, I remembered the Central Church because, as I said, you participated in ministry there already at those times. And through our lives, we often find time when we become anxious about many things in our life. And this passage that we just read helps me, and I'm sure many others, to trust in the Lord and find peace in the midst of worries and trials. Today I want to share with you several prayers that I prayed in my life. It will be my personal testimony and lessons that I learned through those prayers. I hope they'll also be helpful to you. And to me, those lessons were like revelations, like something completely new I did not realize could be. And even some of those things that I'll share with you may seem simple and obvious. They seem to me also like that before, but when you live through that, when you experience that in your life, it becomes a different kind of truth. It becomes part of your faith, part of your personality. So do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is a photo that you see. It's 1991, and this is my university that I entered in Tomsk prior to the time when I came to Christ in 1995. And I grew up in a communist culture. I never heard about God. I heard about Stalin being a good man and we had his portrait on our table in the room. And I remember first time I heard that Stalin was wrong, that some lady said that Stalin was wrong, I was mad at her. So when I was 20 years old, it was first time when I got Bible into my hands. But before that, when I came to university, I needed to pass 3 exams to enter. And if I, because I had good grades from the school, if I would pass one exam for 100%, then all the others would be automatically passed. I would need to do those. So I only studied math. I didn't prepare for Russian language and physics. And when I entered for the exam, I prayed. It was the first prayer in my life. I didn't address it to God. I addressed it to somebody who might be there. And I said, whoever you are, I need this exam 100%. And if you do that for me, I'll feed the birds with the sunflower seeds. That was my promise. So we got a deal, and I got my 100%. I entered to university with one exam. Everything was perfect. People often ask me, did you feed the birds? I hope I did. I don't remember. Maybe I need to do that more. But even I was not anxious at that phase of my life, much depended on my entering the university. I was from a poor family, and if I enter or not enter, it would be a different course of life. So I realized I was needing that. I needed that a lot, and that's why I prayed. Even I didn't know how to pray, never heard examples of prayer. I think it was God's grace. So my first lesson on prayer that I learned from there, ask and you will receive. Or you can make deals with God. And some of you may laugh, some of you may call it heresy, but we can see those examples in the Bible. Or do not be afraid to ask. And you got to ask if you want to receive. So you understand the main thing. So do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. One of the outcomes of this promise is that our anxiety will be replaced with peace. Peace that does not come with understanding, but supernaturally. Peace that transcends all understanding. And that's something. I studied programming. I love logic, math, and I like to have everything in formulas. But this peace, it doesn't follow formulas. It just comes supernaturally. It comes from God, and you can't explain it. And I want to share you my next prayer in my life. There was about my wife, my future wife, Zhenya. I already came to Christ. It was 1995 when I came to a Russian-American center where lots of missionaries studied Bible with everyone who wanted. And to tell you the story short, first I went to Orthodox Church to get baptized, but it was too expensive. I couldn't afford it. So when a friend of mine called me to Russian American Center and I met missionaries there, and they said it's free, they worked for me. And as soon as I got baptized, it was in the spring of 1995, I decided I want to get married. This is the photo of my baptism. Thank you. I forgot about the slides. So this is a missionary from Metro Church of Christ in Denver, Colorado. They also had a campaign there. And until I was 20 and until I come to God, I was afraid of women in general. I couldn't come to any girl or talk to her. It was so scary to me. But after I got baptized, I received the spirit of love and spirit of braveness, not the fear. But and so I started pursuing girls, and I told God, I want to get married this year. It was 1995. But it didn't work out. My teacher, he told me, Sasha, you can't just marry anyone. You have to marry a Christian, a believer. And the church just started. We didn't have many sisters there. So I waited. Then we got some. And then he told me, Sasha, you can't just marry a believer. You have to marry someone who is in ministry. I said, wow, no. Wait again. So I was stressed. I finally had some dates, but they didn't work out. I cried. My mom said, I'm hopeless to see grandchildren. You're already 25, and there's no hope. And finally, after 5 years of praying, it was 1999 in the fall, I prayed the right prayer. So if you're in that situation, listen carefully. I'm sure it was God's grace for me to realize that. I wouldn't come to that understanding myself. But what I understood, it's not my decision, but God's. Or I understood that I need to humble myself before God and let His will go. Let Him decide and accept His will and not mine. Before I understood that, I did not consider any other outcomes besides the one that I wanted. I couldn't think that I could be single. No, I will be married. I'll have a family. But this time I realized 5 years, nothing happened. I guess God doesn't want me to. So I prayed and I said, God, I understand that you may want me to be single, and I accept your will as it is. And I was serious about it. It was November or December 1999. And when I prayed that, I received peace. I stopped being anxious. I stopped pursuing, looking, searching. I just had that peace, and I could do whatever I was doing. At that time, ministering in the church already in Novosibirsk. And in a couple of months, we started dating with Zhenya. And what I understood, that God didn't care much about will I be married or will I be single. He cared more about my heart being humble before Him and about me being willing to accept what He decides. So my second lesson about prayer was, you may ask for whatever you want, but be ready to accept another way, not the one you want it. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I forgot to show you next slide. And this is our wedding. So it was next year. I prayed that prayer in November, as I said, 99. This is 2000, August. And you know Steve and Jenny Vrooman, they've been sent as missionaries by your church in Tomsk, in Kazakhstan, in 2005. And in this passage that we just read, God does not promise here that you will receive what you ask. He doesn't say that. He only promises peace. You may receive it, or you may not receive what you asked for. Or you may receive something different. Or you may receive it later. But He promises the peace. And I believe it's what we need the most. I'll keep with my prayer request. Next slide, it's when we already moved to Moscow. And after I finished my service in Novosibirsk, I was serving in the army, Russian army for 2 years. I decided I want to be full-time minister. And I went to local, it was Steve Curtis who was in charge of all missionaries in the Siberia. And he said, we can't help you, sorry. So I prayed, and I think I received a prompting from the Holy Spirit from God to go and study. So I went to Moscow to study in St. Paul Christian Academy. And Zhenya and I, we both entered and we started studying together, receiving Christian education. But the problem with that study that I had to work full time to support myself and the family and study in the evenings, like from 6 to 10 p.m. And it was a lot to handle. So after a while, I prayed and I said, God, I want to work not 40 hours a week, but 20 hours a week and receive the same income. Because I want to devote the rest of my time for ministry. You have to have a second part too. So in about 1 month, they invited me for the interview, and they didn't know anything about my prayer. And they said, Sasha, we want you to work 20 hours a week and have this income. And they offered me the same income that I was like, wow, prayer works. God is gracious. So I worked there for about a month or two, and I decided to pray again. I said, God, I don't want to work at all and have the same income. So in about a month or two, we received this call, 5 in the morning, from Kazakhstan, which I didn't know where it was before. My wife was born there, but I wasn't. And Randy Green, who was in charge of mission there in Kazakhstan, he said, Sasha, I want you to come and be a missionary here in Kazakhstan. And he gave me even a bigger salary. I think I had like $300 a month, and he gave me $350. So it was even plus free place to live, free food, etc. Even tickets to go to vacation was free. So in May of 2002, we arrived to Kazakhstan. We studied 2 years in that academy. We planned to study 4 years, but we finished our two-year education, received diplomas, and we went to Kazakhstan on our mission. So my third lesson was that God may agree with my desire to be a full-time minister, like that I still had in Novosibirsk, but he may have done it a different way. Instead of me being a full minister right there, I had to go study. I had to have some experience ministering in Moscow. I had to pray more prayers. And there he finally answered my prayer. Another prayer that Zhenya and I, as a family, we started praying in Moscow together was, we want a big light house in the warm place. And you probably, some of you probably already can guess what it ended up with. When you leave too much room for God in what you need, he'll do whatever he likes. So we ended up living in a lighthouse in Kazakhstan. And our house is big, at least for our measures. It's 6,500 square feet, 3 floors. And my lesson from there was, you expect God to make his choice when you leave out the details in your prayer. I never in my life I dreamed about Kazakhstan. The only prayer I prayed in my beginning of my Christian life, God, don't send me to Africa. Somehow it was too far and too scary for me to go. And Kazakhstan, okay. Or make your prayers more detailed and exact if you don't want surprises. And Jenny will tell you a story about another missionary who was praying for ministry in the city where palms grow. And he ended up ministering in Barnaul, where it's minus 40 during the winter. But palms do grow in the airport. I did not expect to live in Kazakhstan. I thought the Kazakhstan is a desert and the camels and yurts and that kind of life. But when I came, I was surprised. There was lots of green, lots of trees, parks, and a beautiful city near mountains. and you are all welcome to come. Maybe not all of you at once, but I think if we divide it in five parts, I can host all of you in our house. And while Zhenya and I were praying for a big house in Moscow, I'll see what the next slide is. These children in an orphanage in Kazakhstan, they were finishing their 16th year, as Jim told you, and they were about to kick out of the orphanage. But there was a missionary, another missionary who visited them there, and they together were praying for a house that they could move to, for a home that they could live after they graduate from the orphanage. And God probably sometimes does matchmaking prayers, I think. He says, okay, Sasha and Zhenya want a big house in Kazakhstan, and kids want home. How about I put those two together? And so he did. Lighthouse was started just in time. We arrived, and in 2 weeks, the kids had a graduation, and they moved into the house with us. Quickly, our family of three, when I was 27, Zhenya was 23, Stacy was 11 months old, turned into a family of 20. We got 18 teenagers from 16 to 19 years old. And some children were only like 4 years younger than Zhenya. And we lived like that for 13 years. And in a normal family, teenagers grow up and you get rid of, no, they move out to their new life. But in our family, when those move out, new would come. And so we always had teenagers. And I think it's not okay for a family to have teenagers for 16 years, for 13 years, sorry. So this prayer, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. And these are kids already in the lighthouse. You see Zhenya and the kids around her. It's not all of them, but some of them, the photo I could find. Another lesson from this passage is to present your requests. It may sound simple, but we often don't do it because of many reasons. We get used to the situation we live in, even maybe it's not, maybe it's an uncomfortable situation, but we get used to it and we don't ask God to change it. Or we don't think that God would do it for us. Or the situation doesn't hurt as much and it doesn't seem urgent and so we don't pray about it. Or we just don't think about something important that we could pray for. And the scripture says, present your requests to God. Write them down. Pray them. Ask God. Let him know those. I want to share another story from our ministry. After our lighthouse kids and our whole ministry was kicked out of the place we rented, we rented a place, we fixed it nice, and the people who rented it out to us, they said, oh, it looks better. We can rent it out more expensive now. So move out. And we had to go through three courts. Each of them we won to stay in the place. But finally, they sold place to mafia. And we were told by the lawyers that we better leave or we can be hurt. So we moved out. We lived in the house of our missionary temporarily. Some kids lived with Steve and Jenny Vrooman. We fixed their summer house. And boys lived there and girls lived with Randy. And then Randy said, let's buy a home for Lighthouse, our own, that we don't have to rent. And we found a beautiful home. This is the kids at Steve and Jenny's house, who haven't seen their house in Kazakhstan when they were their missionaries. And this is Raushan on the right that Jim mentioned. She came here for surgery. And this is Steve moving the Lighthouse from the place where we were kicked out to his home. And this is the house of Randy, who was in charge of the mission. And it's where we were staying when we were kicked out. You can see on the upper floor. There is something in the windows. That balcony did not have heating, and the boys lived there, and it was cold in the winter, so we had to insulate what we could. But through those boards, you could see outside, so it didn't help much. So we decided to buy a home, and we found this home where we live right now, and we need to pay $165,000 for it. So Randy went to see all the churches in America to collect money for the orphanage, and he was able to collect, I think, $35,000, which was not nearly close to what we needed. And he said, I was depressed. I didn't know what to do. And he said, and one day a person comes to me in the church, sits by me, and writes me a check for $100,000. I was like, wow. He signed a contract with the bank who was had this house for sale by faith, and we had 3 months to pay it off. And so we still were lacking a good amount. And at this time, it was 2005, January, you sent Steve and Jenny Vrooman to come as missionaries to Almaty. And before they left, you had a collection. And that collection summed up to be the exact amount that we were lacking. So I think it was about $30,000 that you gave that year, and we were able to pay for the house. Central Church did more than that. Maybe you remember that you had small groups at those time, and some of them adopted our children. They would help them with college tuition. They would send them birthday gifts, Christmas gifts, and some still do that. But the problem with the house didn't end there. What the bank didn't tell us, that there were people in the house that did not want to move out. This guy who owned the house, he thought that he's a very cool guy, so he took a loan from the bank and had a house as the guarantee on that loan, but he didn't pay anything. He said, I don't care, I won't pay, I'm too tough. They won't do anything to me. But they did. They sold the house, and so we come to get it, but we can't get in. People said, no, we're not moving out. We're staying here. Sorry. So we went to the court. The court representatives came, couldn't do anything. I guess they bribed him. And it took 1 year. We talked to him and back, and nothing happened. We had to keep living at that home that I showed you before. So 1 year later, in 2006, every spring as a church, we go to a retreat in the mountains. And we went to a retreat, and there at the retreat for 3 days, the whole church were praying about the lighthouse so we can get it. And before that, before to go there, I'm, as the owner of the house, I disconnected it from the power. And so while we were in the mountains, the people couldn't stay there. It was still winter. They moved out, but they left a huge dog. It sized like a small bear, probably. But our lawyers came. They climbed on the fence. They threw some sausage into a dog cage. They closed the dog. They got the house. They were happy, but then the owners came, and they came with guns, but our lawyers had guns, and so everyone had guns. It was crazy. And finally, the police came with guns. And the police officer, he had the wedding of his daughter or something important, and he was very mad that they made him to come there. So he said, okay, show the documents. Who is the owner? And our lawyers had held all the documents, and those guys didn't, so he kicked them out. And when we came back from the retreat, we could finally enter into our home. And my lesson from that prayer was, we don't know how long it may take to pray for us before God answers, but keep praying. Sometimes it takes longer. And also, we need to pray together. I feel that when we gathered as a church and prayed together, God moved some some things around and made it happen. I think it was not a coincidence that when the whole church gathered to pray, immediately we got what we asked for. And I also think that God wants us to appreciate it more because it was hard to get, as when we get something easy, we don't appreciate it as much. A similar thing happened to our church building. This is our first supper in the lighthouse with all the children, and you can see Randy Green, who was a main minister there in Almaty, Kazakhstan. And this is our church at the spring retreat in the mountains. And this is our church building. But it was not ours. In 2010, we decided to buy a church building, and we found this building, which was owned by Orthodox priest. And when we came and said we want to buy it, he said, I'm not going to sell it to some sect, which is not Orthodox church. I better sell it to a bar or something else, but not to the sect. So we had to pray and search for another whole year. And after a year of searching, I said, let's go back and check with the priest, see if something changed. And what I think God did, he did not allow him to sell it to anyone. And so when we came, he was so happy to see us. And he said, it's okay, you can have it, no problem. I want to move to Russia, just buy it, give me the money. So he gladly and willingly sold it to us. We did have to remodel it. We had to take the roof off and one wall and extend the place by 50%. But it was done quickly, and by the summer of that year, we already had our first worship in that church. And this is our opening of the church in the new building. And I could remember many more prayers from my life that taught me amazing lessons and showed me who God is and what his heart is. But that would need a lot more time than we have here on Sunday. Our life and ministry are built on strategic prayers, especially when we pray together as the church, as a community, when we pray as husband and wife, when we pray as the family with our children, and when we pray as the church body. And God does hear even some of our very small and short prayers. He does hear. One more example. I don't know how I'm doing on the time. In 2016, we brought one of our orphans here to America, to Colorado, for surgery. Organization called Face the Challenge and Dr. Randy Robinson, they sponsored the flight and the surgery. And while we were here, we visited one of the Christian schools that collected some money for us that Jenny Vrooman already worked when they moved to Colorado. And I was amazed that children could study in Christian environment. It may be normal to you, but it's not normal in Kazakhstan. It's a Muslim country. And I think we have one Christian school in the country, right, Jenny? I probably heard about them, but I never experienced. And when I saw that school, I thought, I wish my children could study in such school. That was my only prayer. I had no hope for that. It was more like a constatation of the fact that it is impossible for me, but I feel sorry that it is impossible. In 3 years, all my children were studying in a Christian school in Kazakhstan. God made it possible. I didn't want to do that, but people encouraged me to try, and it worked out. Zhenya works as a teacher in the first grade, and because she works there, children can study for free. That was amazing. And this is Anne. She is graduating from the school two years ago. Now she's studying at Christian college in Lithuania, which was another miracle. I won't tell you the details. And I believe that Jinshan School in Kazakhstan is the best school in the world. I didn't see many schools, but I love that school. I want to tell you that God makes the impossible possible. Prayer is amazing because God is amazing. And prayer should be a foundation of our life. Prayer should set directions of our life. And if you are still young and you're not sure what to do and how you go, I encourage you to start your prayer life and start praying strategically for what you want in your life. And God is more than willing to give it to you. Some people tell me, Sasha, it's easy to pray for you. You're a full-time minister. I said, but I wasn't like that all the time. I asked for it and I got it. Why don't you? And usually people don't do it. Prayer relieves anxiety and brings peace. And here's, I'll repeat you shortly some of my lessons that I learned from my story of prayers. Do not be afraid to ask God. Be brave. Ask for impossible. God likes to do the impossible. Get ready for the curves. Be ready to accept another way. God may want to do what you ask for Him, but in a different way that you thought you wanted. If your prayers are too general, like big lighthouse in a warm place, expect God to make His choice on the details as He likes. Sometimes it takes time. Keep praying, but have other people to join you in that prayer. And I was not told what to do after that. Should I pray or should I let someone pray? What is the invitation? Thank you.